lateral meniscus, two words that have ruined my career, unfortunately. So like, what next? And then he went, so I owe it to you to tell you, not that I think you should, but you have to retire.
Wow.
When you leave the room, don't ever run again.
Simple as that.
And then it's just like the room went black. I've gone downstairs to the bar, and that's it, mate. I got tanked up. I just literally, Peronis, they picked me up. I'm telling them to pull over on the side of the road because I need a wee, like left, right and centre.
And you're getting into the England squad?
Mate, I was finished. Really? My legs were gone.
Were you insured at the time of retirement or anything like that?
Every part of me was insured apart from my knee. I was paying like just under $5,000 a month.
A month?
A month, wow. Yeah.
When the deal's been agreed and then you've got to go and do your medical, all that kind of stuff, in the back of your head are you thinking, I'm going to fail this medical?
Before I'd signed for Wickham, I'd failed a medical. I hope this hits home with like young pros especially.
Welcome back to the Fozcast, everybody. We've got a banging episode for you today because sat next to me is a guy who a little over 4 years ago was bought for £20 million in the Premier League. He had just played consecutively 38 games back to back for Swansea. Unfortunately, though, at the tender age of 29 years old, he's just had to retire through a persistent knee injury. It's Alfie Mawson, everybody. Hey, well done,
welcome.
A little ripple, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little ripple for you, mate. Before we get started, right, I just want to say that I've just been down to the coffee shop to get you, right, to like show you the way up to here. And we were probably talking for about 15 or 20 minutes with you and the wife. And what a lad you are, by the way. I think we're going to be best mates. I do. I honestly think we're going to be best mates.
Am I sacked?
I swear down, like we just hit it off like a house on fire. I think I've gauged your character. I know what you're about. I know absolutely everything already.
Mate, I'm not being funny, but... Alfie's come up and said he likes darts, likes playing golf.
Yeah.
Do you like drinking?
He loves
drinking.
I'm really good at that, yeah.
I'm really good boozer.
Cycling. Yeah. He says he even likes cycling.
Yeah, I'm a psycho.
Mate, I think we're going to be busy mates from now on. By the way, everybody listening at home, watching at home, on Spotify, you can watch us. You know that. It's as simple as that. We are now not only just an audible podcast, we are a visual podcast as well.
A vodcast, Ben.
A vodcast. That's what they call it, apparently. Anyway, stop messing about. Stop talking. Let's get into it, okay? Right. I want to start with why? Like 29 years old, Alfie. What's happened then? Why have you retired and called time in your career?
All right. Before we start, can I just quickly shout out Beth's dad?
Yes.
Pete, he absolutely loves you. He was buzzing when I said I got this opportunity, as I was. But yeah, honestly, like he lives and breathes this.
He listens to the podcast, obviously.
It. Absolutely loves it.
Big Pete, Super Pete, what's his surname?
O'Driscoll, yeah.
Pete O'Driscoll, you're the man, mate, by the way.
Yeah. In pod we trust.
Yeah, you've got some sort of a, what's it called?
Son-in-law.
Yeah, we love him already. So Pete, big up, mate. Thank you. Thank
and
you
I ain't
for
even paid him for that, Pete.
Hello, so, yeah, hello. Yeah.
let's just dive straight into it. Lateral meniscus, two words that have ruined my career, unfortunately. Tore my meniscus, the lateral side, when I was 18, the very first time, so a long time ago. Rehabbed it absolutely fine, coming through Brentford, played however many games, and then I got to Swansea, and it was an FA Cup tie. We were playing Sheffield away, and I was getting touted for England at the time.
So how old are you, about 24, 25 at this time?
No, I was 20, was it? Yeah, 24, yeah. Just turned 24 ish, yeah. About that, yeah. And then, I was in a warm up against Chef Wed and messing about, just like doing little flicks before you start, you know, just kicking the ball about. And then, like, my knee got caught, and I was like, what's going on here? And then, gone down. And then I thought, oh, this is weird. Like, I've had this before, like in yoga, where like you're doing like a pigeon pose, where you cross your leg over and it's locked.
Feeling, by the way. Ugh.
And then, I didn't realise the severity of it because I thought it normally just flicks out and it didn't. And then I couldn't play the game. And then I went and got a scan and I torn it again. And I thought nothing of it because they were like, oh, you can play on with it. So I played on for the end of the season. And then I had an operation towards the end of the season. And then since then, so 24. Since then, I had four more ops to repair it. I got to the stage where it was irreparable. You know, there was no blood flow going. We opted to cut it out. Get rid of it and just to manage my knee for the remainder of my career, which I was fine with. I knew it was going to probably jeopardise the length of my career, but not to the severity it did. And then I got to Christmas just gone. So I went back to Wickham where it all started and yeah, just doing fine. Played, I think, played 22 games on the bounce. Absolutely fine. Felt really good. Was training literally once a week.
Managing?
Yeah, managing, getting called Ledley King and that in training. Yeah. I was like, I wish I was some player like
Rolls Royce on a Saturday as well, though. I love
it. Get rolled out and then, go and do what you can. And I loved it. Wickham, brilliant for looking after players and the way they get like games out of some players. It's unbelievable, trust me. And something went right. We're coming to a Christmas period where it was getting heavier games. And the gaffer said that we're going to only play two out of the three. Each player is going to play a maximum of two games out of a
just rotate year. Basically, yeah.
And this was Gareth Ainsworth, right?
So we were all buzzing because we were like, oh, it's good. Like, all the lads that haven't been playing, the fringe players, the injured players are going to get their role, which he did. He stuck to his word. But I was like, well, I want to play all three, but I think that would mean I couldn't train. Gaz wouldn't have really cared. But something went right on my knee, so I took myself off from training. And we thought we'd diagnosed it to like a hamstring sort of issue behind the knee, which I was quite positive with, but in the back of my mind I had a bit of doubt. I knew something weren't right. And then a little bit later on, like 2 weeks later, nothing had really changed. So my physio was like, oh, let's go get a scan just to rule anything out. And I'm sort of like, oh, God, something's...
Did you know?
Yeah, you just know, didn't you? Yeah. Get a feeling that something's not right. Got the scan and then I got a call from him and he said, I got two... Grade, as soon as you hear grade four or anything,
I was like,
it's not what you need. So I was like, oh, it doesn't sound great, does it? Grade two, grade four chondral defects in my knee. So essentially the top of my outer like shin bone and the bottom of my outer quad bone are just meeting and there's no cartilage left.
So bang, just, bone on bone.
Yeah, they've just like fully cracked and there's like a lot of this, I think, like bone edema, so like really bad bone bruising.
Yeah.
Went and saw a specialist like 2 weeks later. Thinking, oh, it settled down a lot, and he looked at my knee, and he was like, oh, yeah, it looks really good, because I was worried that I was losing my quad, and you know, like knee surgeries, you need as much quad as you can possibly get. So I was like, I'll get my strength back, doing a lot of ISOs with a guy called Tom at Wickham, and we were doing it repetitively. My quad was getting back, my knee felt better just from rest, and then he was adamant that he wanted me to go and see him, the surgeon. So I was sort of like, oh, you know, that doesn't. Bode well with me in terms of like, why can't we just do it on a Zoom call? Give me a call and then tell me what you want to do, unless I'm going to go in and you're going to inject me or whatever. Because at this point, I just wanted to get through to the end of the season and then reevaluate, because that was the plan from the summer. I went and saw him in the summer. But we'll get onto that. And I just remember sitting there after he'd examined my knee. So, you know, trousers off and just stood there in my pants. He's looking at my quads and that. And
he's got all the scan results at this point as well. So he can see everything.
All, he's showing me all. And so then he sat me down. He's like, oh, you can get back dressed. So I'm sat there with my agent just behind me. And then it's just like the room went black. And I was just sat there and I was like, oh, okay. So like, can we do anything? And then he went, we had a plan in the summer to see how many games I could play this year to try and rebuild my, you know, my playing time, my feel for my body, etc. And that plan has failed. So then I was like, okay, so like what next? And then he went, so I owe it to you to tell you, not that I think you should, but you have to retire.
Wow.
And I was like, oh God. I was like, and I just looked at my agent and his head just sank, bless him. And I was just like, okay, like, what? I sort of had a feeling it was coming, but to hear it was still strange. And I was just like, okay, what can I do from there on? And then like going forward, and he said, well, you could maybe fight on and play like three or four games before towards the end of the season if you absolutely had to, but you wouldn't walk properly after. Oh. And you struggle with, like, you know, little things. Like I haven't got kids at the moment, but one of the main reasons to making this decision was I want to be able to play with them in the garden.
Yeah,
you know,
damn right, yeah.
And then he hit me with the worst thing I heard, was that I was like, oh, so what do I do now? Can I just keep fit, this, that, and the other? I said, I cycle a lot. And he said, yeah, cycle all you want, just never run again. I was like, what do you mean? And he was just like, just when you leave the room, don't ever run again.
Simple
ever,
as that.
Ever run again. And I was like, what, like changing direction? I'm thinking, that's where I feel my knee sometimes, like when I step off it. So if I just do straight line plodding, you know, just to tick over.
Jogging, like?
Nothing. He was like, no, it's just the repetitive will just end up ruining your knee even worse. So I was like, okay. And then went outside with my agent and he was like, ah, like obviously we all gutted. And I was just like, I knew it was coming, but to hear you don't run when you leave this room, I was just like, what? I was like, you're having me on it, yeah? And then yeah, that was, I think that was like a month ago. And so, yeah, we made that decision. And yeah, free time ever since.
How'd you break that news to the family and, you know what I mean, let them all know that how it's going? Did they have kind of a feeling that that might be coming or what?
Yeah, in terms of, it wasn't a shock that it was always going to be this that finished my career. I knew that. I knew that the pain was getting to like a stage where I can deal with a lot of pain. I've played with like loads and loads where I've come back too early from injuries, etc. But they knew that when I felt I had a proper problem, I weren't just making it up. And this sounds ridiculous, but when I was speaking to the surgeon, I was like, I'm sort of glad something's shown up, because I've been wrecking my mind thinking, is this all in my head?
Yeah, you know? I'm not imagining it, am
and
I?
And then he showed me it and he's like, listen, you've done very well to even play this year. And I was like, okay, because in the summer when I met him, before I'd signed for Wickham, I'd failed a medical. So it's not out there, but you know, I'm finished now, so yeah. Why not? I failed a medical and on this basis that my knee was going to deteriorate. And at the time when I saw Sam Church, he said, the view that they've given is a very, what's the word, very precautious.
Yeah.
You know, they're being, you know, the clubs are very defending them, like very defensive and protecting themselves. And I was like, that's absolutely fine. There was no bad blood. I was that, like, yeah, it's a financial decision, no problem. So then I went and saw him and he was like, I think your knees, if you manage it well, he said, but only time will tell.
Yeah.
And I managed it well enough, but you know, some things you can't help, and it just got to the stage where, yeah, it was unbearable. Two and two added together, and it was just just couldn't carry on.
What was it like when the you saw the lads again, and you have to tell them, or did they already know? Did somebody sort of let everybody know, that kind of thing?
I think so. It was on the Wednesday I went on, which is the day off at Wickham. Thursday, Friday, I spoke to my physio after the Wednesday. I said, listen, if it's all right with you, I'm gonna take the next 4 days off.
Yeah.
So come back in Monday with a fresh mind and then we'll have a chat, knowing full well what the severity was. So I went back in on Monday and the boys knew that, you know, they just felt it, and I was speaking to them and that. And then I was like I said to you earlier, I didn't want to make a sudden exit from there. So we spoke about certain things going forward, and then I was very much like, well, I want to like peter away. I don't just want to be like solid, because I love the boys there and some top people there, and I'm just happy that it was there that I've been able to have my last game time.
Yeah.
Where I'd started professionally and then walked away from the game there knowing the fond memories I had. The philosophy that they built there is unbelievable, honestly. It's something that I've never seen since in football. And the boys were so supportive. I get messages. I got another message this morning from a young lad there just saying, we miss you every day. And it was very kind. And I just liked the little imprint I had when I came back, that I've had the experience that I didn't have when I was first there.
Yeah.
So I was leaning on older pros when I was first there, and now I was being lent on.
You're that guy now.
So it
was
cool. It was nice. Like a few of the lads like would come to me and speak to me and ask for advice. And I'm just Alf. Like,
yeah.
But I understand, because I was in your position, whether you're playing, whether you're not, whether you're injured, etc. I'm like a good person to speak about, especially about injuries and that, like, and coming back from it. I'm probably one of the best to speak to, because I've had so many operations. But it's a great group of lads. So I think when I broke the news to them and we had chats, they were obviously gutted. But for me, that was heartwarming, because I'm like, well, you genuinely care. You're not just saying, you know, oh, gutted, this, that, and the other. Like, never mind. This, it hit them as well. So it was nice. And I had a great group around me.
Oh, mate, the way he talks about it is proper. Yeah, yeah. Like, honestly, you seem, I know, like 29, you're a fully grown man. You deal with it, mate. It sounds like you're kind of, like I said, we were talking in the coffee shop earlier and you said, I don't know, because it's only been a month, I don't know if I've fully probably come to terms with it yet, but I am at ease with it, at least. Mm. You know what I mean? You're at peace with the decision you made. It's a tough one to make, though, because when you, like I say, but you've been in football for what, even at 29, best part of 15 years. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, what am I going to do then? Well, what am I going to do? So what is the next step for Alfie Mawson then, do you think?
Well, unfortunately, I'll be the first to admit it, that in the last, like, well, however my professional career has been, I've just wasted such valuable time.
Yeah.
So like, you know, like this is, I hope this hits home with like young pros especially. the amount of time you get away from the training ground when you've done your work in the morning or you've done your gym or whatever time you're getting home, them hours. Obviously, if you've got family, brilliant. Like, I haven't. So it's me and Beth when I get home. God knows how she puts up with me. But I kill time, but not doing anything productive.
And
I think I've wasted so much time on learning new things that I wish I would have. Like, you know, like the opportunities that the PFA offer, you know, courses, going to seminars, things like this, I wish I'd have done. And now I've taken more notice in the last like 6 months of these opportunities and just going to things. I live in Fulham. Like, I can get to anywhere, in London, especially around London. It's so easy. You can get anywhere around the country, but I just get home and I'm very much like a recluse. I just get in. Whereas Beth is the complete opposite of me. She loves people. She gets out. She goes and does things to fill her days. Me, I just get home and I'm, that's it.
Comfy. Right. You're happy there.
And I love it. Yeah. I love that. But I wish I would have used it in a more productive way. So, like I said, like you touched on, the moment of realization hasn't really hit yet.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will. I'm sure it'll be hard. You know, I'm not really an emotional fella. But I'm sure I'm going to have a little, you know, a little, like, not a breakdown, hopefully, but like a little, I'm going to have a little period of time where I'm in this.
It's like a grieving period.
Yeah, sort of.
It is.
And I'm reading a book at the moment called Dealing with the Discomfort Zone.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of reading that because I feel like that's going to help in terms of, I'm going to be in that discomfort zone. I'm going to be in an area like football is my comfort zone. It has been for the last however many years. It's all I know. And I've loved it. It's been fantastic. There's so many highs, there's so many lows, and there's just people that I'm so grateful to have met. But now I'm stepping away from that. Probably my only fear is that you can't recreate that changing room spirit, everything.
Match feeling, day adrenaline.
You just can't.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I'll be able to. And that's probably my only worry, is that, you know, that FOMO, that fear of missing out. Mm. Like, I know what's going on today in a changing room, like just a normal day. Great banter, just lads, you know, having each other off, and I think you go into another like workplace and you're having each other off. Mate, you're getting HR all over you. Do you know what I mean?
Come work at Cycling GK, mate.
No, honestly,
we have each other off all the time.
I had to speak to him once and go, mate, this is like it's not the changing room. Right?
Yeah,
you can't speak to people like that. And he's joking.
It's all you know. Yeah,
yeah.
It's all you know. So,
mate, I walk in there and I'll fart right, real loud, and I'll just fart.
Horrible.
Right? And literally everybody will look at me and go,
"What are you doing?
You can't
what
are you just doing? Fart." And I'm like, "What do you mean you can't? You can just fart. Anybody can just fart.
Yeah, but we've got the no smell rule, haven't we? If it smells, you can't do it again. So
you get one.
You can do one. Yeah. If it smells, you have to stop. If it doesn't, you've got free reign to do what you want. I've got a question for you. So, just going back to the injury, did it make it any easier at all? The fact that surgeon or consultant didn't give you a choice. He said you have to retire, because if it was, you hear players, you know, of a certain age saying, I was told I was finished at 29 and they played till they were 36.
Yeah.
But the fact that you were told you have to retire, did that take any grey area away from you and give you clarity at all?
No, purely because I am, under no illusion, I am so fortunate to be in the position that I am. And I have done things I never thought I'd be able to do. So being a professional footballer, I never thought would happen in general. Let alone getting to the Premier League and playing however many games I've played. I've loved every moment of it, but I understand that financially, it's a massive thing as well. So we go to work. Everyone, what do people work for? And I touched on this with you earlier. People go to work to earn, to provide for whatever reason, you know, buy themselves stuff, families, etc. But to do something that you've loved and get paid for it. And I'm under no illusion that footballers... Yeah, overpaid, whatever, and you know, you can say what you want. It's an entertainment industry, etc. But I've been very fortunate to have been in a situation where this decision isn't down to certain things like financial or up and moving. You know, I've been very grateful to have had that stress away from me, which probably has made the situation a lot easier and my decision to step away from the game a lot simpler. Looking back on it, but. When he said to me, you know, like, ah, you won't be able to move properly, or you won't be able to have them times with your kids. I won't get them back, and I've not even got kids yet.
So life choice then, rather than purely a professional one.
Listen, football's fantastic, and I've loved it, but there is way worse going on in my life and all around the world than a bad knee. And I say it to everyone, and they're just like, yeah, but it's easy for you to say that, and, you know, it's such a good mindset. I'm just like, no, I'm telling the God's honest truth. I'm not trying to be like, oh, yeah, I'm a glass half full guy. I'm just being honest. Like, my family have been through all sorts. Beth's, like I've touched on before the podcast, Beth's dad's just finished radiotherapy. My sister is going through her own cancer journey at the moment, and I know she's going to fight through that because she's a strong woman. But I see these things in my life, not just my life. Like, you look at, like, the earthquake, like, a couple of weeks ago. People's lives have been ruined. I've just stepped away from a sport. And don't get me wrong, it's been fantastic to me, and I've loved every minute of it. Probably the lows more than the highs, because they've made me a better person. But it's a job. And yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do next yet. I haven't made that decision. I'm fortunate to be in a position where I can take my time on that. And just as long as I go and enjoy something, then I'll be happy. Like I said, I'm going to get in that discomfort zone, and I'm going to be like, this is all foreign to me. Like, what do I do going forward? Like a schedule, like I don't know, because football is so chop and change. You could be playing on a Tuesday night, and then for the next Saturday, Tuesday, for the next 2 months, you're playing Saturday, so you've got your evenings back, you've got your days off back, you've got international breaks dotted in, so you've got holidays, where a lot of people are in a different world, where they're just like, that's like regimented schedule, so maybe I'll have to adapt to that. But for the time being, I'm just gonna, you know, take some time with Beth and that, and just go and see some places in the world that we haven't been. Because as great as football is, it can also be a bit, you know, you've got that time in the summer to cram in as much as you can.
Yeah, you know, 6 weeks of boom. Yeah.
Of, you know, footballers' weddings, they take up your whole calendar. So now, like Beth said to you in the coffee shop earlier, she's like, well, we've got 4 weddings this year, and like 2 of them are in the summer and 2 of them are in the winter, but you can come.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah.
Got no excuses.
Yeah. I know. So I'm like, I've had my weekends back for the last like 6 weeks, and I've had the best time just either going to the pub with my mates.
On a Saturday afternoon. How good is that on a Saturday afternoon?
It's like a Saturday, and I'm just like, I can watch it.
I've been doing it for 25 years. Don't worry about that.
I just want to go and get like a little both teams to score acca on, like £2 on, try and win like £3 million in that. Like, list about that long. And
so that's what the retirement plan is.
So I can gamble, yeah.
Is there anything that you, that like that day where you finally retired, called it quits, whatever, is there anything that you said to yourself, right, I can do this and I'm going to go and do this next week or the week after or whatever? Is there anything yet that you've actually gone, yeah, I can do that now and I'm gonna go and do it? Or was it literally just going to the pub on a Saturday afternoon and watching soccer Saturday?
I think that freedom of just mainly the weekends, because like I said, we got a lot of time in the afternoons. But I feel like with my family as close, so I'm Fulham based. Best family are they're Wokingham, and my mum and dad are Winner, so they're quite close together, literally like 10 minutes. So from there to us, it's an hour. I've seen my mum and dad in the last 6 weeks more than I'd seen them in the last probably 2 years.
Wow.
I've just been going home and not even doing anything. Yeah, just eating them out of house and home. Sunday roast. Honestly, just getting
simple pleasures, isn't
waited it? On hand and foot. Prima donna. Mum can't do enough for me. I'm just like, I'll help.
Oh, little Alfie's here. Come on, Alfie.
She's like, oh no, like,
get him another Yorkshire.
Yeah, mum's like, but we still want to go to Wickham games. Like, that'd be all right. I'm just like, you can do whatever you want. I'll just chill around here, no problem.
Yeah, I don't want to go.
I don't want to. Like, I do. I love it. Like, but I'll be going as a fan now, as opposed to going and dissecting him. Like, I don't know, like, when was the last game you've gone to? But, like, going back to when you've been injured and watching a game, you know, like, you're sitting near fans and you see what they're like. And
you hear them, hear the things they say.
Oh my God, I'm just like, get my back up a little bit. I'm just like, you can't say that. Like, you don't know him. So I just feel like I want to go and just like, you know, just sit back and just take everything in.
Yeah.
As a fan, I went to a Wickham game last season against MK Dons in the League One semis, playoff semis, and I was there as a fan because I was still signed at Fulham, but I was going to watch my mate Scowie. He's been playing, and my Beth's godmother to his daughter, so we were close with them, and I was just like, they were screaming, go, Dad, and I was buzzing off it, man. I was like, this feeling's unreal, like, And then I was like, I'm a proper fan, eh?
Yeah.
I was like, Wickham's gone, I'm going mad now. And I'm like, can I do this or what? I said, yeah. I'm still signed at Fulham, but I'm like, this is my club. This is Wickham. And I think the freedom, yeah, without going away, because I can talk, like, as you can imagine.
You're so good at freedom, it, though, isn't he? He talks so like not, he's just proper. You're proper. Yeah, I told you, we're busy now, mate. We are, we're done.
Yeah, I think just like you said, like the freedom of just going and being able to do anything and go and have lunch with, I'm having lunch with my sister on Friday. I haven't had lunch with her for years. Do you know what I mean? And I think the main thing I wanna do now isn't to do with working or finding a new hobby or whatnot. I want to be a better family man.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like, you know, like, ah, like going to go and have kids like straight away, whatever. Cause I've always said to Beth, it's your body. Whenever you're ready,
yeah,
you let me know.
Well, she said in the coffee shop earlier, she wants to go traveling for a few years now anyway. So you got no chance.
I'm on board with that now. And whereas like early on in my career, I thought kids, bang, this, that. And you know, things change, but I want to be more present in my family's life. I've not been a good enough nephew, not nephew, uncle to my nephews. Yeah. I need to be way more involved with them, which I'm going to be. I need to be closer to my sister because, you know, as bad as it sounds, but when something like I said, cancer happens, you know, you take so many things for granted, and then when it might take something bad for you to be like, hold on a minute, like, you're not invincible. Like, yeah, no one's invincible. Sure, yeah. And it can flip your world upside down. So I need to be more of a family man with what I've got, because I am now, I've stepped away, I've realised more than ever how important they are to me. Yeah. And it's great. And now I understand why and how Beth is so family orientated. I used to be like, do you not get like, you go and see them like 3 times a week, do you not get like sick of them, whatever? But now I know why not, because they're your comfort blanket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're like people that are always going to be there. And like I said, it might take something bad for you to realise that. And I just wish I'd realised that earlier. But I think that's going to be my main probably aim, like obligation to myself, is to be the best uncle, brother-in-law, son, dad when I am to my family, because they're a constant. You know, work comes and goes, football has come and gone, and it's still there, but I can't rely on that anymore.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I think away from that mindset is just, I want to be the best person I can be, which has been my aim in the last like 4 or 5 years anyway.
I think when you're in elite sport, I think it could be any sport, football, whatever, I think you get in this mode of thinking you are invincible, and you're thinking like, this is just going to last forever. Mm-hmm. I ain't got a plan for now. Do you know what I mean? I'm getting paid, it's fine. I'll never get ill because I've got all this healthcare, but all that kind of stuff. But it does, it'll come. Mm-hmm. It will eventually, hopefully as late as possible, but it will come to everybody. One thing you said earlier as well was about like you just liking to get home and be a recluse almost. Yeah. I think people, the wider world, probably won't understand that that's not unnormal in football. Genuinely, that's not unnormal, is it? There's how many lads do you know? I know loads, absolutely loads. And I'm a little bit like that myself, to be fair, where once I finish football, I just want to get home. I'm happy at home. Mm-hmm. I'm comfy at home. I don't need to be going out all over the town or anything like that. I don't want to go, definitely don't want to go shopping on a Saturday afternoon or anything like that. But, mate, just being alone in your house, mate, I used to buzz off it. Like, leave me alone. I'm so happy with my own company, honestly.
It's just your area, isn't it? It's just your... Beth always says it to me. I don't know how you're like this. Like, she's like, I do one day on my own and I'm wrecking my bones to speak to someone. I'm just like, I'm so comfortable at home, doing nothing. And like I said, I love that I can do that, and I've got that.
It's a good skill, mate. I can do it. It is.
But then I'm also like, you're on your own.
Yeah.
Do something.
Yeah.
Even if you are on your own doing it, do something productive, which is, like I said, I wish I had of.
Yeah.
And now I know. So, you know, there's that saying, like, you learn from your mistakes, and that's probably been not just one mistake, a mistake every single day I've made for 8, 9, 10, however many years.
That's hindsight, isn't it? That's the beauty of hindsight. Yeah. But ultimately, if that's something you enjoy doing, going home, and that's your way of relaxing, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And you're not going to foresee in 5 years, 4 years, 3 years, I'm going to be finished playing football. So, and it's like with the family element, it's a perspective, isn't it? And often... Yeah. It's something that happens in your life that makes you, it switches you on and goes,
change your
perspective. Oh, do you know what? maybe I could spend a little bit more time with the kids, with my mum, with my dad and stuff. So I don't think it's ever, it's just your life changes, doesn't it? And you adapt. I think that's the important thing is though, you do adapt.
Yeah, whatever he chooses to do from here on, I think he'll be all right because you're proper, mate. You are, you're legit. Yeah. That's what you are. You're absolutely wicked. I've got a question I want to jump in on quickly. So you mentioned earlier, so I didn't understand that the knee injury was so sort of long-term and long-standing from when you were a kid early doors. I've been in a very similar position to you where I'm getting a move to another club. So I'm going to put it to you. So the Swansea to Fulham move, the big money move, the £20 million. When the deal's been agreed and then you've got to go and do your medical, all that kind of stuff, in the back of your head, are you thinking, I'm going to fail this medical?
Well, I signed injured at the time.
Really?
So this is probably like a good insight to football fans as to what goes on. So obviously we know a club approaches your club normally before you can go and speak to them. You know, sometimes it doesn't happen. I've had it where it hasn't happened. Yeah. And I just, you know, you go and speak to managers, etc. And then when that contact's been made and they agree a fee or whatever or let you go and speak to the club, then you go, you crack on, terms get sorted, and then you do your medical. So I did my medical, I did all my scans at Fulham, and I was just recovering from my lateral repair.
Yeah.
And so I went there not fit. So you haven't got to be fit to sign a medical, but obviously when the main thing people will fail on is it's a massive business decision, so it's a lot of money at the time. So it's, are we going to outlay that money? Are we going to get that back?
Yeah.
Do we need to cover our costs? So if you're going there, more likely to get really badly injured, or is it going to be worse, or et cetera?
There's so many factors, isn't there, that they have to take into account. You could fail a medical and still be fine to sign the contract. It's whether the clubs agree that it's worth the risk or not, basically,
It's literally just, risk assessment done on myself when I went to Fulham was... there's a bit of doubt, so I'd gone there on the Monday, I think it was. Done my medical, done all the fitness stuff, flying, like done really well, and all the strength, etc., body scans, all that nonsense, and then went and done the MRI scans, and then was meant to be signed on the Tuesday. Hadn't heard anything from the club on the Tuesday, so I was like, you start to panic. I'm that guy, I worry about everything. I just think, right, well, why has he not replied, or what's going on? And then... spoke to them and there was a bit of doubt, so I went and saw a specialist up London, and he looked at my knee and he said that he was a bit worried that it was going to go again.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't be able to tell like straight away. So I was halfway in my mind. I called my agent and was like, listen, I'm going back to Swansea here. I'm going to go back and I'm just going to play for Swansea. I'm going to fulfil my contract. And I'm going to just crack on now. So I love my life there. It's been brilliant. And
it's not worth it.
Yeah, it's not worth it's not worth this hassle.
The upheaval.
And just... everything. And then so my best mate was brilliant. He come got me and he took me to the driving range. You can imagine pinging balls, just venting all my anger and that, sweating up, just like in the middle of the summer, just
tearing the life out your lap from this.
I never wear jeans. I've got jeans on and I'm looking quite smart because I'm thinking I'm meant to be doing signing photos and all that nonsense. And then so we're down there and I'm just pinging balls, and then get a call in the afternoon, like 5 o'clock. My agent was like, they want to meet us now at the training ground. The deal's getting done. I was like, okay, fine. So I went in on the Wednesday, and then we ended up signing on the Thursday afternoon.
Yeah.
But yeah, that doubt of, I had it more in the summer here, like I said, when I failed my medical, was that I felt fantastic. Like all our season, we trained 5-6 days a week, 11v11 every day, and I was flying. I felt unbelievable, like really good nick and that. Obviously not played as much as I wanted to, but you know, that's life. And I got to this medical, and then I literally hadn't eaten. So I probably hadn't eaten until 8 o'clock at night. Get to the hotel and I've had food. Even the dinner was rubbish. So I was gutted, mate, because I love food. So I've gone up to my room and I'm just like, I need something else. So I've ended up walking to Tesco's down the road, getting all sorts of trying healthy snacks in case they do body fats the next day. I'm
thinking it's going to make any difference.
Yeah, every little helps. And then go back to my room, and then my agent calls me. So I get a group call from my agents. Like there's like three of them who head the company. And I was like, yeah, it meant this. So I answered it. And they're all blurry and this, that and the other. And I'm just like, I hung up because I'm just like, I can't hear a thing. I don't know what's going on. Got another call. And then my agent's like, hi, Alf. He said, they've pulled the deal on this basis. And I was like, okay. I was like, then all I'm thinking is, what's wrong with my knee? And he said, there's nothing wrong at the moment, but there's thinning of the cartilage. So it looks like where the club at is in their financial stance at the moment, and where they're at in terms of regulations, it wouldn't be feasible for them to offer
this
you the contract.
This is Fulham still, yeah?
No, this was
the new club.
This was the new this was the club
one
in the
that
summer.
We're not
yeah.
mentioning, but yeah. we were up north. Yeah.
And I was like, okay. I was like, so there was no bitter taste in my mouth. I was just worried about my knee. So yeah. I was just like, okay, like it's a business. Like I said, it's a business at the end of the day. I completely understand. But then all I'm thinking is like, God, like what do I do now then? Where does this put me? So I've gone downstairs. They're coming to pick me up. I was in a hotel and they're like, we'll take you home now. So they'll be there at like midnight. So I think it's like 10 o'clock or something. So I've gone downstairs to the bar, and that's it, mate. I got tanked up. I just literally, Peronis, I was just like, yeah, I'm like, what do I do? So I'm just necking them, literally like 4 pints down, like in like an hour. And I'm just like, I'm starting to go a little bit. And I was like, oh God. And then they picked me up. I'm telling them to pull over on the side of the road because I need a wee, like left, right and centre. And then text the financial advisor, who's like really close with our guys, and just like, well, what do I do? Like, just pure out of like just drunkenness. Like, what do I do now, mate? Like, my career's finished. Like, what am I going to do? And then he was like, obviously it was late. It was like 12:30, 1 o'clock. So he didn't reply. And then the next morning, like I got back and I had a few more beers, and I got home at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, okay, well, just sat there. And then he called me and we had a chat for ages. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and, you know, just, I think for 5 days I just floated about the house. So I'd been like hammering my fitness away because I have to, because I lose it really quick. I've been doing like so much work, and then for 5 days I did nothing, and I just Deliveroo around London, mate, and it's dangerous. Like three Deliveroos a day, mate, and I was just like, I can just see this gut, and I love food. So I was like, come on, like, don't do it to yourself. You never know, like it might be a problem, or you might be all right. Or so then we went and saw a specialist that I'd not seen before, and that's where we got to the stage where he said, listen, if you manage it, you could carry on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say you're going to go and get 10 years because you're not, but we can do like a thing where like you scan it every 6 months or every year, and we see, and we can sort of gauge the damage that's been done or hasn't been done or could be done. Yeah. And then you can sort of guesstimate as to how long you're going to carry on for. But yeah, that... like you don't hear a lot of people failing medicals anymore.
No, you don't, do you?
At all, because there are so many treatments out there.
Yeah.
And there are so many specialists for like everything.
Yeah.
That I thought, well, yeah, I've not got the greatest knee. It's a little bit made of paper mache, but I can deal with it.
Yeah.
I know I can deal with it. You can't tell me that I'm not good because I've been training for this long and I've been playing it and I'm fine. But yeah, to say I failed one was something that I'll tell the grandkids. And so when they're one day when they're running around and I say I can't,
just tell
run.
Them if it was Real Madrid.
Honestly, I can't.
One question I was going to ask you, Alfie, was without being too crude, is obviously at 29 you finish playing. Are you kind of set for? Everyone knows footballers earn really good money, but you're obviously not worrying about it in the short term. But have you got kind of provisions in place when you spoke to your financial advisor that it's not a concern for you for the next 10, 15 years or whatnot?
Nah, I think. I am, like I said, I'm so fortunate to have, not only to have played, but to have played at the level I've got to. And I've not been stupid with my money at all. Me and Beth are just the most normal people in terms of, like, we date nights and Nando's proper. Like, love nice. It. Can't be in and out job. Don't say a word when we're eating. We literally head down just like that. and we've been really smart with investments, properties, etc. No outside influences, you know, coming in and saying, oh, we can do this for you, we can do that. We've got such a good group around us, from my agents to mainly our family to, you know, best friends. I see a lot of players that their friends are happy to go and spend your money for you, or say, you could do this, you could do that. And we've had times where we know we can do stuff, but why are we going to do it just because we can? So to answer your question, no, it's not a worry.
Great.
Because we've made, and I'm like very fortunate, and I'm not trying to sound like, yeah, I've got all the money in the world, because I haven't. But
you don't need a lot anyway.
Yeah,
really,
been very smart, yeah. And the way we are, I'm not going to go and start living a lavish footballer's lifestyle now that I'm not a footballer. I didn't do it when I was one. So why would I change? Because she'd leave me straight away. And like I said to you before the podcast, I'll be in trouble. because she's top. But yeah, I think if you make the right decisions at the right times and that, and listen, like COVID, who'd have thought, like that hit, that obviously smashed the economy massively. But I'm lucky to have had such great guidance and such great help with them decisions that luckily, thank God, that it's not going to be a worry.
That's great. That's really good to hear because we've talked about it a lot in the past when we did an episode on like a footballer's entourage, managers, agents, etc. And you've always said, haven't you, trust. If you can get the right people, the right group around you that you trust, then you'll be okay.
People smell money, mate. That's the problem in this world is football, especially football. Cash rich people, good to go, money on the hip. Do you know what I mean? They're all those little hang-ons, the little gegs, like they can just smell it. And they're like, I'll come with you. I'll do this with you. I'll do that for you. And she's like, oh, leave it alone, mate. You weasel. With regards to like insurance and payouts and stuff like that, were you insured at the time of retirement or anything like that?
Throughout my career, injury insurance is obviously a big thing now. It's become more of a thing in the last like 10 years. So the first thing my current agent, which I met him 8-9 years ago, the first thing he said to me was, when I met him, was, have you got injury insurance? And I said, no, like, why would I need that? I was like Wickham. I was like 300 quid a week. I was not saying that's nothing, but in the grand scheme of things, it's like, I said to my dad the other day, I don't know how I lived on that at the time. And I don't live an extravagant lifestyle, but like, thank God they were there and I was sponging off mum and dad for, you know, like they didn't take nothing off me. They never would, paying for meals, etc. And I was just like really grateful for that. But I had a good, healthy load of injury insurance throughout my career. But the more you injure something, the more it's like a car accident, the more you crash, the higher it goes.
And stuff gets excluded as well, doesn't it?
So then this little sod down here got excluded from my injury insurance. Otherwise I'd just been paying stupid money for insurance that wouldn't have, you know, it wouldn't have worked. So every part of me was insured apart from my knee. So I knew that when I made this decision, I've got to understand that, you're fine. Yeah, you've played for these clubs. You're going to have a great injury insurance. Yeah, I did, but it doesn't cover general wear and tear. Yeah. Same as a PFA. It's because I spoke to a few of them. I just said, can you send me some courses and stuff? I want to keep myself busy. And they said, we got into chat about why. And then they said, we can go through a claim. And I'm just like, don't bother. You're going down a dead end.
Really?
Purely because it's literally like your brake pads on your car. It's just wear and tear.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. But then when speaking to the surgeon, the last time I saw him, he said, you're in a position where, you've had loads and loads of recurring injuries, but you did have one time which has ultimately ended your career. And I was like, when was that then? Because I haven't done anything lately. I haven't like gone and torn it, or I haven't had a moment where like I've been smashed up in the air and I can't, you know. But he was like, when you were 18 and you tore your meniscus, he said, I don't care what surgeon you are. I said, I've been doing this for years. It's never the same. He's like, so that has ended up
in the reason why
your whole career. And I was like, okay. He was like, and you could go for a claim. He said, but it'd be tedious, it'd be long, they'll be asking, you'll be literally going on for years. And I was just like, well, I've not got that in my head at all. I haven't had it in there. So let's just keep that aside because I don't want to go through all that again. I don't want to be going, like reliving all these memories of tearing my meniscus for fun because I've done so many of it. And you just remember the bad times with that. And I want to remember football for the good times. So I had injury insurance. I had good injury insurance. I've got, good life health insurance. But like I said, this particular injury isn't one where you can go and claim on.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's not going to cover it. No. It's quite expensive, footballers' injury insurance.
The whack, like
that. Yeah. I think I stopped mine at about 35, 36, 35 probably, I think, when I signed for Watford for the second time. But I think I was paying about 10 grand a year,
Well,
10 grand a year
on
injury insurance.
I'll kill you, yeah.
A lot more.
Yeah, mate. So when I signed that, Swansea paid it for us. So they paid, they paid a big lump a year. And then, because my agents have always been big on that, like, it's a big thing.
So they'll have written that into the contract?
Yeah, they wrote it in.
Oh,
and then
really?
We went to Fulham, and Fulham were like, we don't do it that way. We don't pay for injury insurance. And I was like, that's fine. So then, obviously...
Can you just put it in my wages instead?
So like, I was like, you top me up. But with my knee, I think it was the first two seasons I was at Fulham, I was paying, like, just under 5 grand a month.
A month.
Wow. Yeah.
Jeez. Because Do quick maths, go on. 60 grand a year. 60 because grand
of
a
the
year.
Because of the history of my knee.
Wow.
It was a needs must because I was like, well.
So to cover your knee, just in case, if it was that
would end my career.
You'd have to pay that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't remember what the pay. It was obviously, you can imagine, a stupid payout. But it was like I said, like car insurance. I look back now and I just think, God, I could have done so much more with that money.
Imagine.
Because it's ended up doing me anyway.
Right, yeah.
60, but, yeah,
but
60
yeah, and then it was, and then it got to a stage where like it was just, the more, like I said, the more you tear it, regardless of your contract, obviously it's got to cover whereabouts you are with that and that. Like I was speaking to a few of the boys on a coach one day and I was like, oh, what's your injury insurance? And I was like, because like, like mine might be a bit expensive, and they were saying like, yeah, like 8-9 grand a year or whatever. I'm like thinking like 700 quid a month, and I'm just like, what? It's like, no. Nah. I was like, what are you insured for? Like, what are you gonna get with that?
Squad insurance.
Yeah, I was like, what are you getting with that? And then, but looking back on it, like I'm glad I made it. Obviously, it financially, looking back, it's big numbers, but I've made them decisions, and you know, you learn from them going forward, and that like. But you know, like speaking of insurance, you know, like insurance companies, like footballers, like, you know, like the companies who were going, I'm not naming any names, but they'll go and say, oh yeah, we've done your injury insurance for this long, or we've done your car insurance.
Yeah.
Do you want us just automatically renew? Hello, mate, send us this. Yeah, we're gonna
order.
So like, I'll give you a case. Like this summer, my car insurance was up and it was like, oh, hi mate, I'm gonna reinsure. Have you got the same car? I was like, yeah, same one. And he went, okay, so this is your renewal quote. It's like, I think it was like 3,200 quid. So it's like it's gone down 150 quid, and I was like, oh, "That's all right." I was like, "It's gone down, buzzing." I'm like, "Let me just have a check." I was like, "Cause let me just have a little look around, because I've got like I said, like this is probably one of the times I was actually using my time quite well." And I was like, "Let me just get on like compare the market, or whatever it was." Mate, the most I was finding it for was like 2.5 grand, and I was like, "What's going on? I'm filling it all in correctly. Yeah. Like these are all my no claims. I've got no points. I'm saying I'm a professional footballer, not a professional athlete." This, that, and the other. This is where my car's kept. I'm not saying it's kept in like a vault or whatever, because it's not. And then I'm just like, 1,200 quid, I think it cost me. So then he texts me and he was just like, "Hello, mate. Do you want to renew?" And I was just text back and said, like, "Hello, mate. Missus has done it all sorted." Because I didn't want to say, "Nah, mate. I found it to you." I was like, let me just deflect. Let me just deflect it onto
Missus can deal with that.
Hey, that sounds familiar,
yeah,
then.
Yeah. I was just like, oh yeah. Well, I don't want to let people down. So I was like, oh, Beth, you, yeah. And thinking like, he's going to message Beth. He ain't got a number. Yeah. He's like, yeah, sweet, man. No worries. And I was just like, easy.
Is that it?
And then I stupidly started to think, I've been with like this insurance guy for like the last 8 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
couple grand more every year.
I was like, I don't even want to know. I was like,
but these are like when you're playing, probably you probably go, just let it auto renew.
Yeah, and then, because you think, then, oh, that's no hassle.
Yeah, but like, then when that paycheck isn't coming in every month, you mean, like, you're a bit like it, aren't you, Ben? Since you've retired, you're kind of going, don't get me wrong, we do all right as a business, but you've definitely tightened up your belt, haven't you? And gone, well we're not doing that anymore, and we're not doing that anymore.
Hey, do you know what it is? It's just, it's not nice when people don't put money in your account every month.
No, tell me about it, man.
I don't enjoy
it,
mate.
It's not fun, is it?
It's not fair. Yeah. Like, you
put it in everyone else's account.
No, I'm just putting their money in everybody else's account every month. I don't even pay myself at the minute. One thing that actually interesting, talk about car insurance, talk about young footballers, right? there's a couple lads I know who still know some lads at Man United and stuff like that, and there's some of those young Man United lads who have got big bad boy Range Rovers, SVRs and stuff like that, like proper cars and stuff. They're paying like 15-20 grand a year on car insurance. 15-20 grand a year on car insurance, and they're driving around in 150 grand car as well.
Yes. Well, that's what it is when you're 21 years old, isn't it?
Play for Man United, 21 years old, fast car, 4.4 litre engine. Oh my gillion.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, electric way forward.
Yeah, what you got? Yeah. What car?
iX3.
Oh, here you go. We've got Tesla.
That's why I couldn't drive it here, because just in case you ran out of miles. No. I thought, oh yeah, and then mine's I put the heating on, I had the music up, and boy, that's it, mate.
It goes down rapid.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah,
can you park them in a Tesla one, by the way?
No. That's a big thing that's going on. Totally off topic, but yeah, I think the American government are trying to pay Elon Musk to allow
to use other companies to use them. So
whether that comes over here or not,
well, that would be a problem, wouldn't it? Because
it'd be a problem. They're busy as you're doing.
Mate, we've noticed it, haven't we? In the last 6 months,
can't even get on it. If we're going down the motorway and we want to stop at a Tesla one, there, you're waiting, mate. You might have to wait 20 minutes. Yeah, they're rapid, still, you're waiting 20 minutes to actually get on there.
Have you seen? I don't know if you've got it around here, but like in London now, like bog standard lamppost.
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Plug into the lamppost and stuff
mental.
Like that.
I'm just like, what are you? I was like, this geezer just pulled up and that, like, pulled his car wire out. I'm just looking up because, like, I'm thinking, yeah, like, electric car near, like, area near me. I'm just like, go on then, like, where are you going to plug that into? Just wax it in the lamppost. Lamppost. I'm just like, okay,
fair. Sure, it wasn't just a nutcase.
That's clever, to be fair. Probably weren't even his motor, but yeah.
All right, Alfie, I want to take you back to a 24, 25 year old Alfie Mawson. Doing really well for Fulham, absolutely smashing it. And you're getting into the England squad. Talk to me about your experiences getting into that. You never actually played, got called into two games.
So I got Italy and Holland. Yeah. That was tough, mate. I was at Swansea at the time. But I got called up. So I played for the 21s and that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Loved it, like proper. Love England, absolutely. Obviously, I was over the moon to get a call up. Really, like, surreal moment, but I was buzzing. And then I got there, I think it was like Sunday or whatever. It was St. Patrick's Day, and we had an FA Cup game in the morning, BBC One. I was at Swansea, we played Tottenham, got whacked 3-0. And obviously you're just thinking, oh God, like, it swallowed me up, world, like, just lost on BBC One, like, everyone can watch us, like, everyone. We actually did all right, but just, yeah, they had a hell of a squad. And then I just remember walking off, and then, like, all the England, like, Dele Alli, like, Eric Dier, and that would come up to me, oh, sweet, see you Monday. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's quite cool. I was like, I forgot about that. And then,
big England thing.
I was like, because obviously I'm thinking, like, the game, like, that's all I'm focused on. And then St. Patrick's Day, Beth's dad's Irish, so he came to the game. My mum and dad come. We just went near us after the game, and we started drinking as, like, a St. Patrick's Day celebration/England call-up. And ended up getting, like, way more drunk than we should have, but it was brilliant. And then, so I was Sunday, pure recovery, just hydro tablets.
Recovery.
I'm just like, I've got...
Isn't that a hangover?
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. So I get picked up early Monday, like, coming from Swansea, it's a trek to St. George's Park. So I slept the whole way there. And then, mate, the training just hit me like a train.
Really?
It's like, at Swansea, Carlos Carvajal just come in, and he was like, literally... You get ready for a game, whatever you need to do. Our one session that's tough is a Tuesday. Thursday would be tactical. Wednesday was like gym-based tactical. Friday, you do a warm-up, you do a few sprints, do shape, and you're done.
Yeah.
If you want to do extras, all you're doing is finishing free kicks, you know, all like the lads like that. So I'd literally not trained, just and took that for granted, and then got with the England boys, and oh my God, mate, they were like machines.
Really?
Everyone step up. The fitness, like, I was like, what, my legs are gone here every day, like double sessions now. I was like, this ain't pre-season. And like, obviously I realised now they had to cram a lot in, like gym sessions, this, that and the other. So I think we travelled to we went and played Holland away, and then we come back to Wembley to play Italy. Mate, I was finished.
Really?
My legs were gone. I think that was the main takeaway from Italy. I was buzzing, I was knackered, and I was like, this is the standard, like, of to, like, to
they
be
live
the top
like
of the top.
Yeah.
So I hear stories about, like, Liverpool players, like, going in the afternoon and doing their, like, notorious training sessions. They're like
extras.
Their day starts like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, or whatever. And I'm just like, what? I thought football was like a generic Monday to Friday, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday taper down or off or whatever, because, like, you know, lower league, that's what it is. And I'm just like, I loved it, and you know, I wish it would have happened again, but I was like, this training, like, honestly, like I said, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was baffled at how they can maintain that.
That's mad, isn't it?
Who were the standout players when you were there then?
I stick by it, mate. Every time I get asked this question, Jack Wilshere.
Really?
And the squad was immense, don't get me wrong.
But when was that, 2018?
You were in there, weren't you? Before the World Cup. Was it before the World Cup?
That is frightening, right? Yeah. So you roll back to 2018.
Yeah.
You got Alfie Mawson, Jack Wilshere. You say roll forward 4 years.
Mate.
They're both retired.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine?
I know. Can you imagine?
Honestly, obviously people have known him so long and just tapered him that injury brush. And I've had it a lot. But like, he's on a different pedestal because he's been there. You know, I got to a stage where I was comfortable and happy and I love football, but he had the spotlight on him because he's been at Arsenal, because he's so good. He's played for England so many times. But I got there knowing all these big names and that, like Sterling's, Dele Alli was on absolute flames, Stones, all these players were like unbelievable. But I don't know what it was. He was just like, he just the strut, not arrogance, but just, yeah, I know I'm good.
Yeah.
And he was just popping it. And then I remember calling my dad because he's an Arsenal fan, and I was speaking to him. I was like, Dad, you'll buzz off this. Wilshere is immense. I was like, honestly, like, great guy as well, which is what I like more. I was like, he's proper down to earth and just started chatting to me and that. And I was just, because I was gone there as like a, other than Tammy Abraham, I think like there was barely any other English lads that's been called up from Swansea.
Yeah.
So I went there like a little fish in the big pond.
Right, you just followed Man United players.
I knew
Arsenal,
Pickford and
Liverpool.
I knew Pickers from the 21s and that was it. And I was like, not starstruck, but like, okay, this is like another step here.
Yeah,
I was like sink or swim sort of thing. And I just remember training with him and I was just like, God, like, yeah, everyone says, oh yeah, he's injured, this, that and the other. And I was just like, yeah, but he is so good.
So good, just and got
I
just, it.
I just wish like he was able to not prove anyone wrong because he hasn't got to prove anyone
just
wrong.
Fulfill, like, yeah, just fulfill, just fulfill all that potential.
Oh,
it wasn't even
God,
potentially
mate.
Was. He mate, was the real
he,
deal.
Mate,
he was the real deal honestly, for a bit, weren't he?
In training.
When
like,
he retired, I know, we know somebody and said, like, he must be kind of, is he fit? And people were saying, he's fit.
Oh, yeah.
And he's looking for a club. And in the world that we live in with football, of short-term deals and everything else, I remember saying to you, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Well, you look at, I think it was Watford at the time, me and you were having conversations going, a club like Watford, why wouldn't you just...
Well, apparently Watford were interested for a little bit.
Well, why wouldn't you just pull the trigger for 6 months?
That season where I think he went back to Bournemouth for a little bit, didn't
he? Yeah,
yeah. Like, I remember there were so many teams sort of sniffing around going, shall we offer him this, shall we offer him that? And I think a lot of them were just obviously worried about his injury
record. But on a six-month deal...
Even if it's pay-as-you-play, just do a pay-as-you-play, do you know what I mean?
Right.
That's it. You get Jack Wilshere in through the door. The level in training just alone.
Even when he was at Bournemouth, I remember watching... It was last night, funnily enough. I was watching some, like... compilation clips of him like just receiving the ball and stuff, like the way he would turn in the middle of the park and just drop a shoulder and the other midfielders are like, I'll see you later.
Yeah,
then.
It made it look easy.
It's like squat legs he's got.
Yeah, mate, it must have just been something. It must have been like, listen, I'm not going to go and say like whatever reason because he's made a decision for whatever and he's had a hell of a career. And like I said, like I'm glad to have met him because not only was he like top player, but like a really like
good guy,
just a nice guy, and which is just refreshing. Yeah. And I'm not trying to sit here and say like top footballers are knobs because they're not.
Yeah.
They're like loads, like everyone's great guys, but the perception that a lot of people would have of him.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
With
it
this.
Is.
And I'm just like,
it's
you get defensive.
It's completely
like,
true, yeah.
I'm not going to say like I'm his best mate. He probably wouldn't even remember the things that we spoke about. But it's refreshing for me because I'm like, yeah, sweet, you say what you want. Like,
yeah.
And I've had it where few of my mates are like QPR fans and they'll speak about like some players, they'll say, yeah, no, he's terrible. And I'm just like, he's not. I'm just like, you are such a football fan at times. You do my head in.
They'll have read The Sun, they'll have read all those little gossip columns.
But they know more. They're like,
dickhead.
Oh yeah, what's he doing? And I'm just like, what do you mean? Like, why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? And he's just like, mate, whatever decisions he's making, he's making.
Yeah.
He's not just going to have made them. They're not going to just go and do things for the sake of it. Just relax. Like, let them do their thing.
You've got to have an opinion, you know.
And I was watching one of these the other day with you and Troy, and you said about everyone's, and that's the beauty of football, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and I agree, everyone's entitled to their opinion. But you know, like when it gets voiced in a way that you take offence to it, even if it's nothing to do with you.
Yeah,
I get like that with footballers. Like, I do get defensive because I know what it takes, and listen, like it's a great life. Don't get me wrong, it's fantastic. It's got so many highs, but mate, what? Like I say, like what job are you going to go to, where your boss has come in at halfway through the day, said you've been effing useless, you've been this, you cunt. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you don't get it.
No.
So
and the manager's
see how you
fighting.
Can deal with that, yeah.
Manager's fighting on the touchline or something like that.
Do you know what I mean? Like yeah. Like
what? In what world? Like,
phones for you, managers fighting the EE manager down the road.
Phones for you. All right, granddad.
Are they still going anymore?
I don't know.
What's another one? Car phone warehouse. Yeah. Car phone warehouse and the EE
but
manager.
It is, you're right. Like, I think football, I mean, this is, I always think it's a double-edged sword. I think it's what makes football the best sport in the world, but then tinged with, it does get to you sometimes. Because like you look at, we do the weekly show, the football fill-in, and we'll have guests on and stuff. And they're never saying that team or that player's an arsehole. Or, well, Goldbridge might sometimes.
Yeah, it might
but
be, yeah.
People will get in the comments and they are after it. And they're really, can be quite abusive. And you think, it's just an opinion. And he's saying it in the right way. Just accept that it's a different opinion to yours.
He's not trying to say you're wrong. I think that's... that's a good thing with football, is that everyone's entitled to their opinions, and you can say this. I'm not trying to say that you're incorrect or I don't agree with what you're saying, but this is my opinion. And I feel like sometimes, like, you find it more with people who aren't or haven't been to do with football, mm-hmm. that their opinion is not wrong, but it's way more biased, or it's like, you know, I'm trying to get a nibble out of someone, or I'm trying to,
well,
like,
yours should carry a bit more weight anyway. Do you know what I mean? Because you can put a bit more context around your opinion and
back it up.
With, well, I met him and actually he was sound. Yeah. Like he was, do you know what I mean? Or, mm-hmm. But just talking about some of the other defenders in that England team with you at that time. So in that actual squad, centre-backs were Gary Cahill, Eric Dier, is he a centre back? He's kind of a centre back, isn't he? Phil Jones, Harry Maguire, John Stones.
Phil Jones was in there.
I know, yeah.
2018.
Yeah, 2018.
Wow.
Yeah, decent little.
Yeah,
like,
not a. Yeah,
your
not
mate, Danny Rose. Not a Danny Rose,
yeah, Danny Rose was in there. Yeah,
big Danny.
Who else was there?
Ashley Young. There's a full back.
Bertram was there.
Trent was in there.
Yeah. Gary Cahill.
We want to get him on the podcast, don't we?
Where were the standout centre backs?
Stones.
Was he really?
Was he?
He's a Rolls Royce. Maguire's like, listen, he's another player I get really defensive about.
Yeah.
Because, like, he is a top player. I don't care what anyone says. And to, like, the World Cup to have not played and then to go and just, you know, just not carry your country, but be, like, one of the best centre backs in the World Cup by a shadow of a doubt. You know, it takes some cojones, let's say that.
Cojones,
nice. You know what I mean?
John Stones was the player,
mate. He's not a centre-back. He's just a ball player.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
A lot. I think he's got
better strings. And better. Because there was a time at Man City that he looked like he was on his way out, didn't he? And he just, in the last 2-3 seasons, he just seems to have got better and better and better and better.
I don't know, little things like I know, it's like he's filled out a little bit. I'm not trying to say like he was lightweight because he wasn't, but he looks like he's like a proper...
big man,
ball playing man. Now, do you know what I mean?
Love that.
Yeah, he's a player.
Right, Alfie Morton, we're gonna go into some quickfire questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do some quickfire questions. Nothing too dodgy, I promise you.
What was the team that you failed in medical at?
Do you have any hidden skills?
No, not that I can share. No.
It's because he went home and just did nothing instead of his skill.
I love to say, guitar, but that's not... I bought a guitar. I bought a guitar in COVID. Yeah, still in there.
In the box, the guitar case. Yeah.
What was it about COVID? I bought a fucking banjo.
A banjo.
Yeah, that's
one of those. Oh, no, a ukulele.
Oh, you're weird.
Why? You bought a guitar that's still in
these things, though. Yeah, like we started colouring. Like,
colouring's nice, mate. I don't mind a bit of colouring.
Therapeutic, man. Yeah.
It is lovely, peaceful.
What did you do in lockdown? What one? You must have
cycled, no?
He's weird. He'll have picked some weird thing.
I was cutting hair, wasn't I? I learned how to cut.
Oh, yeah, you went to barbering.
Barbering.
I went bald, man. Yeah.
Did you?
I remember Beth was on FaceTime to her dad, and I was like, you know, like I said, like I'm going through this, like I said earlier, I'm going through this thing now, like for like a little mental challenge. I'm going to try and grow my hair for a year. So this is 2 months in. Obviously the curtain's horrific, but you know, like I can't do nothing. Like, I'm trying different styles each day, but I'm getting to that length where it's like, oh God, like it's getting
horrible. It's
minging, but like, yeah. So if I get battered, like I ain't really bothered. So I've got 10 months left. But in COVID, I went the other way. I was like, I'm going to grow it. But then it got to that stage where it was that mid length and I was like, nah, I can't do anything here. And then just got a one blade and I just went like that. And I was like, oh no.
Too late now.
I've gone too high though? Because I'm thinking, I'll give myself a shape up sort of thing. You know, I look quite cool. And then I went downstairs to Beth and I'm just like that. And she's on her face and she's like, Dad, I've got to call you back. What have you done?
Yeah.
Gone upstairs. She's given me like a one on the side, three on top. Actually looked not bad. She blended it in as well.
Yeah.
Like,
nah.
And then she was like, I just wore a hat for about 3 months. And then... but I ended up keeping that, like just short hair from that experience, and so much easier, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Like drying this every day is a nightmare.
I don't even dry it, man.
What makes me smile is that you feel that you can give yourself a shape up.
You can't give yourself a haircut.
I did the same with my lad. Remember Sebi? I took a chunk out of his hair.
Yeah.
Even to the point where we were in the middle of COVID and I rang a mate of ours, Chrissy, who's a barber, and I went, mate, you're not doing dodgy trims, are you? Like, are you doing anything?
Can you pop round?
Like, in the garage? And he went, nah, mate, I can't. Yeah. I was like, sorry, kid, you're going to have to just...
But we were like that, like, because I thought, oh, yeah, just clippers now. I won't go to... I think I started off with like a 3 or whatever. but it was a free on a beard trimmer. I'm not on the clippers. That's low, mate. Yeah, I had no idea. So I thought, oh God. And I went literally 12 up to about here. Oh, no. And I thought, Alf, what are you doing, mate? Like, this is not you, pal. And
then I look bad on him because he's got like a blockhead as well.
I've got a Minecraft head, man. Hasn't he? I have, mate. I've got a head and a half, yeah. That's no insult, trust me.
Well, that wasn't a quick fire, but we love it.
Yeah, I know. I love it. The tangents, I love it. Do you play any computer games?
Call of Duty.
Oh, yeah.
Religiously.
Really? Yeah. Like a big sweat on it as well.
Well, that's my name on COD, yeah, Sweaty.
Is it
something,
honestly?
Yeah, Sweaty something, yeah. I'm not going to...
There you go. Yeah. I'm not going to give my game a tag.
No, I'm not going to give my game a tag, but I am the sweat.
Okay, love that. Favourite meal? Favourite go-to food?
Go-to food? God, that's sweets.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've got a bad sweet tooth.
Sweets for dinner, then.
When we get to the food 10K challenge, mate, that's my next thing.
What is a 10K challenge?
I said this to a few of the boys at Wickham before I left. I was like, all right, lads, I'm going to do the 10K challenge. And I think like, oh, you can't run. And I'm just like, yeah, 10K, like 10,000 calories in a day.
Eating?
Yeah.
Oof.
Oh.
Comfortably.
Oof.
I'll do it comfortably. Honestly.
Can we film it?
I'm gonna send it to I've said it to the Wickham boys. I was like, I'm gonna vlog it. I'm gonna like weigh in the morning, show you my plate before and after. But yeah, I've got it sorted out.
Send it to us. We'll edit it up for you. All right. No, we'll get the edit in. We'll get it all done properly.
Honestly,
right?
I'm comfortable like knowing I'm gonna smash it because I've got an eating problem.
Oh, 10K is hell of an amount of calories.
It's,
you know?
It's not when you knock it down. Trust me.
If you drink Cokes in between and all that kind of stuff.
Cokes, pick a mix. I can eat like a kilo pick a mix like that. Like,
that's a good idea.
Yeah. And that's like 3,600 calories. So that's a whack. My Nando's order is like 2,500. My Wagamama's is nearly 3,000.
Are you going to do any exercise in between this?
No.
It's a one day challenge. One day challenge.
Yeah, Beth's going to drive me to Nando's, take me home, drive me to Wagamama's, and then I'm going to do a 12 box of Krispy Kremes with the Cokes. I'll hit 10K well quick.
You've given this real haven't you?
I've mapped it out. I'm going to batter it.
All right. You need to send us that footage and we'll make it up for you, all right? Yeah. We'll do it proper. Favourite drink then?
Coke. Yeah, it's bad. That's my drink, yeah. No, I've gone on to Coke Zeros since I've retired because... mate. I didn't realise how many calories was in Coke.
Heavy.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Like them little thin cones is like 100 calories.
Needless.
I need to keep them.
What about our favourite alcoholic drink?
Peretti at the moment.
So I
thought they was like a fraud version of Moretti.
But
they're good, mate.
Good, really?
Yeah, they're nice.
We've got Madry on tap up at the
Madry's top as well. Best dad loves a Madry.
Big fan of Madry.
Like a little neck oil, little really? Brew dog,
oh,
don't we?
Do. Yeah,
like
a neck oil, yeah.
I've got one, teenage crush.
First ever teenage
crush. Jessica Alba.
Oh,
yeah. I used to have like a photo on my phone when I went to an all-boys school. So like you can imagine like photos and like of birds like going around like, oh, look at that, like, oh look what I've got, look at my background and that, like flipping the phone and that. And I had one of Jessica Alba and honestly, yeah. Jessica Alba and Mila Kunis, yeah.
Oh, that's a good little duo, that.
Jessica Alba in Fantastic Four.
But I must say, and I'm not just saying this because the camera's right there, me and Beth were best mates from the age of 12.
Yeah.
So from the age of 12 to I think like 20. I was that best friend, that annoying best friend.
Really?
Like,
friend zoned all the way through?
Friend zoned all the way through, comfortable. Happy to say it because I got out of that and I stayed out of it.
Yeah.
So she's always like,
I was the one that escaped.
Like she's my non celebrity crush is the woman that I've ended up grinding down.
Yeah, beating her down. Got a word, honestly, got it.
And I'm so grateful that she has settled for me. And
how
just
does
given
that
up.
Work when you go from 12 years old to took you 8 years, yeah? In any of those years, in a moment's notice, if she had gone, do you want to be my boyfriend? Would you have gone, yes, deal?
Well, I think there was times where we were both like I'd fancied her and then she'd fancied me, and but we hadn't told each other. Or there was times where I fancied the life out of her, but she was just like, honestly, Alf, just grow up. Like, you're not the one, maybe one day. And I stuck with that because I thought, maybe's enough. That's all I need. Like, I'll be it.
Glimmer of
hope when you give up and you're ready to settle, when you're sick of just the graft of like trying to like stay with, I'm here.
Here's Alfie.
I'm here. And honestly, I said, I'll do what I can. And bless her, she now I've got I'm really close with her family as well. So like I say to her, like, if you ever to leave me, like. Think about the repercussions. Yeah. Like,
it's not just me. You're leaving
just me,
it,
yeah.
Right?
Because I'm not just with you. I'm with your family.
Yeah,
that hits hard.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Like, do you think they might choose you over?
Absolutely not, mate. No, I'm more worried that if like anything ever, God forbid, anything ever happened, my mum and dad would be like, Alf, mate, you've you've really let us down. You know, like that bit of line, I'm not angry, I'm disappointed.
Oh, that yeah, kills. Yeah,
oh, that's so bad. Yeah. Oh, have you used that on your kids before?
More than a many times. More than many, honestly. Yeah. I've got a nice one for you here. Who's the most famous person you've ever met?
My hero, JT.
John Terry?
My hero.
Someone said that last week.
I said that. What did I say to... What we like to do is get some shirts up here and then we normally start by talking it. But we haven't got many Defenders shirts. Yeah. Like, these are all match worn. So I've not got
that's,
many...
That's my best thing I've ever got was the John last Terry season shirt. He was playing. I got a signed Terry shirt, honestly, mate.
So I've got a John Terry shirt at home. Well, my dad's got it, right? Because my dad's name's Terry, yeah? So he loves John Terry. Yeah, so I got him a John Terry shirt from when we played Chelsea, I don't know, years and years and years ago. I texted him earlier and said, Dad, because he's a picture frame of my dad, he does all these shirts, puts them all proper nice and stuff. And I said, Dad, can you get that JT shirt from out of wherever it is and put it on, like at least just like, wrap it around a bit of cardboard so we can use it on the set? And he's going for an x-ray on his knee today, actually, funnily enough, and he was like, I can't do it, I'm really sorry. So I was going to put a JT one up. JT, I didn't know that he was like your hero either,
so
genuinely.
Like, the first time I met him was actually on a Christmas do.
Yeah.
So we were in a Winter Wonderland, and you can imagine, mate, like, he was getting swarmed.
Yeah, of course.
Like, he's dressed in it. My mum's got it up in her study, bless her. Photo of me dressed up as It the Clown, so like scaring kids for fun.
Yeah.
And then he's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, decent, yeah.
And I was just like...
Which one was he though?
I was just like, I couldn't really see past about here.
Raphael, Donatello, Leonardo, and
I think it was the blue one.
That was Donatello.
I think it was baby blue. I think
And
I met him in the Bavarian beer village and just chewed his ear off. And I just said to him, I was like, mate, I'm so sorry, but like I'm like genuinely in awe here. Like I'm buzzing. And he was like, nah, don't be silly and that. And then when I got my England call up, he DM'd me on Instagram.
Oh, nice.
Oh my god, mate. So like we were going out that. So I got called up like a week before, I think it was. We played West Ham, we just beat them. And like, I played really well. And then he DM'd me and was like, oh, hello, mate, JT here. I don't know if this is your official account. And I was like, what's going on? I checked, I saw the tick and I thought, no chance. And then he was like, heard you were unbelievable today on Gillette Soccer Saturday. He was like, yeah, they were buzzing off you. Keep going, get yourself on that plane for the summer.
How good's
that?
Beth
was like, what's up? And I was just like, I threw my phone. I was like, I'm done.
I'm done.
I've done it. She was like, wow. I was like, she started celebrating. She was like, yeah. And my mate was around and we were just, whoa. I was buzzing, mate, honestly.
Hey, I've got like a lot of good things to say about JT. I'm the same as you. Like I've met him quite a few times, England teams, all that kind of stuff. And don't get me wrong, he gets a bad rap in the press sometimes. Some of the stuff he's done obviously is very dodge, but like on a one-to-one basis, like I've always said, yeah, mate, JT's top, you know. He's always dead respectful, talks to you, chats to you. Yeah. Like really, really lovely. So I'm with you, mate. Yeah, he's
Tubes
all right,
always
you know?
Says that as well, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, Tubes always says Tubes exactly the same quite sort well, of thing. Nicknames.
Oh, Beth calls me Raffs. Our whole family call me Raffs.
Rafts.
I've had so many nicknames. Rafts. Best. Yeah, Rafts.
What? You're gonna have to spell that.
Raffs.
Rafts.
Rafts.
There must be a reason.
Like Rafferty, but it's not. It's just Rafts. Nah, she just calls me every random.
What's Rafferty? I don't know what that
is. It's a name. I'm in trouble if Beth calls me Alfie. I swear to God, I don't remember the last time she called me Alfie without being annoyed at me.
So where's Rafts come from?
Must come from somewhere.
She's mental. I swear, she's got names for everyone. Like her nephew now is called Oscar. That's his actual name. Tut Tut Mouse. Yeah, mate, she's mental.
Mouse.
But like, she's got names for everyone, honestly.
Beth, can you get in the comments down below, please, and try and explain why Alfie's called Raff? Yeah.
Right, I think we've got a few more, haven't we? We're having fun here.
Yeah, good. It's good. Yeah. Superstitions. Any footballing superstitions?
Did I ever used to have any? I think not like superstitions as such. Just making sure, like, I had. Well, maybe, yeah, actually. Just like before game drinks and that.
Yeah.
Just like pure caffeine, mate.
Just make sure you fuel right, basically.
Yeah. Not fuel right, because my whole career I didn't fuel right.
Just caffeine.
Yeah, just caffeine.
And sweets.
Like, I don't eat breakfast or nothing, so like I just, yeah, fast.
What, even on game day?
Yeah, game day, yeah.
So just, what would you have pre-match meal? Not much. No. You just want that instant sugar hit.
Yeah, just maybe a bowl of strawberries or something.
So would I be right in saying that, obviously, if you're not eating breakfast or lunch, that because football's like a 90-minute effort, you'll have enough glycogen, and you've got enough to get through.
Defenders don't run around very much anyway. They just sort of stand
unless
there.
Unless you're in trouble chasing, and I've done that a lot
and stuff like that.
Yeah, just shout. Like, if you're having a bad game, I don't know who said it. I think it was Ashley Williams said it to one of the Swansea boys. He was like, when I'm having a bad game, I just shout more. Just deflect. And I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, if I'm really loud, if I'm really loud in training, I'm just like, that's because I know I'm having a nice torrid. So.
Yeah. You see any goal goes in on a Saturday afternoon, mate, watch the goalie straight away. He goes, what are you doing?
Oh, mate,
doing?
I see it all the time.
Come on. You hate that, though, don't you?
What are you doing?
I see it. You see it all the time. I've had it loads. And you just like, the keeper's at a toe and you just look at him and you're just like, and he's just waiting. Like, what do I say? And I'm just like, it's all right, mate. We've all been there.
Next time, we'll be fine, mate. Don't worry.
We've all been there.
Who's the best striker you ever played against?
Jesus.
Gabby.
Yeah,
really?
We played a game. I think I played one of his first games for City. Beat us. So we were 1-0 down, he scored. And then Gylfi Sigurdsson scored. We got back to 1-0. Literally 2 minutes ago at the Etihad, buzzing. This was really a massive result for Swans. And then he went up for a header against, I don't know who it was, my right side centre half, Fernandez, like top player. He's beat him in the air, headed it, and Fabianski's parried it. Norton's gone to get to it, and he's just like moved him out of the way and just scored the rebound as well.
Yeah.
And we were just stood there like, what? He's just like,
three or four players he's just done there.
Strong, mate. Yeah. Like, I don't think people really like technically in that, like lovely, like really good player. But like all these Brazilians are solid.
People really? You, honestly, they've all got big bums, haven't they? Big, thick legs, people, big bums. Mate.
What, Brazilians?
And, oh,
just like made of, they're made of something else. Yeah, they're just tougher than us. And yeah, they just, you just bounce off them.
Big Gabby Jesus. Like,
people wouldn't expect that.
No, they are.
Like, even the skinny ones, though. Like, remember Ramirez from Chelsea? Like, him, like Oscar, like players like that, just like strong, like Willian, obviously, for like, I mean, his quads are like,
yeah, joke, yeah, joke.
Disgusting. But the strength these like Brazilians and South Americans possess is
streetwise strength. It is,
that's scary.
Nice. I'll give Lucas Fabianski, by the way, because I love this goalie. Oh, honestly, he's one of my favorite goalies in the Premier League.
I say it all the time, he's the most underrated goalkeeper.
He is, isn't he?
He's so good, man.
And he's like, a nice guy,
great
guy. Yeah, he's a nice
great guy. Just, I remember when he left Swansea, so like it was. Well documented that he was going to be leaving because he had to stay in the Prem.
Yeah.
But he took it upon himself not just to write like on his notes or a tweet. He wrote it in handwriting a message to the Swans.
Yeah.
And little things like that just show you what a nice guy he is.
Yeah, he's lovely,
so like when I met him, I'd never met him, so I didn't know anything. I'm really quiet, really timid, and just gives you advice, and like you know, like keep himself to himself and that, and just. Drop like the odd bit of banter to you, and you'd just be like, What a minute? That was like, what?
He got a bit as well.
And then he'd just start laughing and just walk off, and like he'd get his little laugh to himself. And I used to just buzz off him, man. And yeah, we played so many games together. He was a legend, man, honestly, and so underrated.
Yeah, I totally
like. He's got
mate.
Who's the second choice is Areola, isn't he?
Mm. Yeah.
World Cup winning goalkeeper. Like, you go on his Wikipedia, his pedigree is top.
PSG, all over the place. But, I know.
Fabs, get him out.
Keeps him out.
Can't, you can't not
he's
start.
He's actually just done his fractured his cheekbone, by the way. I think he might have to have operation or something. Yeah, for a little bit. What is the toughest away ground to play at for a tough atmosphere?
I've had my worst times in my career at Watford.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were there, actually.
Did you make your debut for...
Yeah, 2018.
Against Watford, yeah.
What
year? At Swans. 20...
I think it was just 16, before you started. 2016, was it?
Yeah. Against Big Dini, I remember just having a fight with him.
Yeah,
but I was buzzing off that though because I was like, I've come from lower leagues and I thought, well, I know the fight.
Yeah.
Technically, I'm thinking, right, like they're going to be like switched on way more. But Dini, like, I get proper physical with him.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. Like he was battering me. Like I was headbutting him left, right, and centre. And like
he'd have loved that as well.
He didn't care. That's like a mutual respect, though, isn't it? Yeah, he would have buzzed off that, and you buzzed off.
I didn't realize how like you know, like when you get an image, like I'm sounding like a football fan here, like. You'd look at Troy back then and you'd think, yeah, he's a lump. Like, he could be fat. I remember he pulled his top up like that, mate. I was like, what? I was like, he's just like big.
Muscle.
Just like solid.
Strong,
and I was just like, what? Like, and I was like, oh, that's refreshing. I was like, they're all going to be built like that. Yeah, cheers. Got no chance. But your gaff, mate. Like, I remember we played, you might have been there. I think it was the same, actually, no, it was the same year that I had my debut. And I was playing left side centre half under Clement. And Kapoor was there.
Yeah.
And I chopped him once. And I was like, yeah, I'm the man here. Hit a diag, lovely. Chopped him twice. And I was like, oh, that's close. Like, got away from it. And then Gaffer was like, Alf, just looked at me and I was like, oh, sweet.
I won't do that again.
Done it again, didn't I?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Pinched the ball off me. And then I was like so confident I had the ball. I like looked up to hit my diag. And then I was like, oh, God, I ain't got the ball here.
He's gone.
So I sprinted back. I've recovered all right. He's had a shot and Fabs has saved it. Yeah. Saved it onto the bar. It's come back out. And I thought, right, sweet. We've avoided danger. Bounced back to him somehow. And he's just like left foot, like half volleyed it into the far corner. And I'm just like, oh, my God, like world, hole now. Swallow me, please. I'm panicking. And then
he was a player.
Getting it, mate.
It is lovely, mate.
Fucking unit as
well. Yeah, I know.
Got in at half time. You're just waiting. Yeah. Waiting because you know it's coming. And I was just like, cool, head down. Alfie? Yes, Gaffer. How many times am I going to tell you? And I was like, yes, Gaffer. And then, oh, fuck, I do it. I was just like, ah.
And that's Paul Clement.
Sorry. No. Went back out, and then like the first thing comes to me, bang.
Squeeze.
Just like, you know, get up. And I was like, nah, there's no chance. I don't want the ball.
Were you playing in that game? Do you remember? I remember Paul Clement when he was Swansea manager, the one where that Renato Sanchez, do you remember him? I remember that you were playing in the red kit and
against Chelsea away and Wednesday.
The red Carabao logo came along passed it straight out to the red advertising board.
The advertising board was moving, so like the Carabao thing and then he pulled him off at half time. I remember, and we were just like he's a player as well, but he just did like things weren't fitting for him, like things weren't working out for whatever reason. And I remember Gaffer's like, yeah, I'm taking Ronaldo off. He's like, it's not because I don't rate him. And I remember I was just like, don't say it like in front of him. He's like, he's having a bit of a tough time at the moment. And he just sat there like that, like food, just like all this, like going mad in Portuguese. And then, he didn't play any of the season, like towards the end of the season at all. And then I think he went to France and then just had a like world year. Where's he now? Is he a Bayern?
Mate, he's been bought for like PSG about 100 mil combined money so far, hasn't he?
Or PSG. Yeah.
Now, I think Bayern was the original one. Now he's gone to someone like PSG. He's had 2 months.
Oh, yeah, no, he was on loan from Bayern to us.
That was it. Yeah. That was a mad little signing, that was, weren't it, to be fair? Mate, that was absolutely world class.
Class.
Didn't I say to you when he came upstairs?
I said
to you when he came upstairs, I think we're going to enjoy this podcast because he is a lovely, lovely human being. And you are,
Thank you,
mate.
I appreciate that.
You're absolutely top class.
This is cool.
Yeah, it's wicked, mate.
It's cool, yeah.
I'm so happy you came in. And the way you speak about like the injury, everything like that, I think you've got it all in perspective. You understand what the most important things are in life. Top class, mate. Alfie Mawson. Thank you for coming.
No, thank you.
Up the Foscast.
Up the Foscast.
You got to do it. You got to do
it. Foscast, so.
There you
and
go.
Shout out North Greenford United.
Go on, North Greenford United.
Thanks, everybody, for watching. We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of the Foscast. Don't forget to give us a follow on Spotify. Up the Foscast.